Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the exclusive interview that NBC's news anchor Brian Williams had with Edward Snowden and get an analysis of both what was said by the NSA whistleblower and what was not asked by Brian Williams. Sean Willance, who is a professor of history at Princeton University, who wrote an article at the New Republic, "Would you feel differently about Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange if you knew what they really thought?" joins us. We'll discuss the holes in Snowden's story and the tepid questions by Brian Williams that reflect how the mainstream press, who have been beneficiaries of the leaks, have bought into the Snowden narrative without questioning the source and who might be behind the source. Then we will speak with Amitai Etzioni, University Professor and Director of the Institute for Communitarian Policy Studies at George Washington University. We will discuss his article at the Huffington Post, "Freedom of the Press in the Post-Snowden World," and who should have authority to render the final decision on what to publish when a nation's secrets, like Snowden's cache, are delivered to select journalists and a select few newspapers and editors who alone have the responsibility to weigh the people's right to know against the government's need to keep secrets. Then finally, we'll go to Brazil's capital, Brasilia, and speak with Paulo Sotero, the director of the Brazil Institute at the Woodrow Wilson Center and the former Washington correspondent for Estado de São Paulo, a leading Brazilian newspaper. We will look into the anti-World Cup demonstrations ahead of the June 12th opening game and the record-breaking $11.5 billion price tag that is dampening the expected celebration of national pride that could hurt or harm President Dilma Rousseff ahead of the October elections that are clearly politicizing the increasingly charged atmosphere surrounding the World Cup. And joining us now is Sean Willance, who is the George Henry Davis 1886 Professor of American History at Princeton University. He is a contributing editor at the New Republic, and his books include The Rise of American Democracy, Jefferson to Lincoln, The Age of Reagan, A History, 1974 to 2008, and his latest, Bob Dylan in America. He has an article at the New Republic, "Would You Feel Differently About Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange If You Knew What They Really Thought?" Welcome to Background Briefing, Sean Willance.
Great to be back here, Ian.
And Sean, I was very disappointed in the interview that Brian Williams did, much ballyhooed. They promoted it very heavily. But I didn't think he asked any really important questions. And it looked to me like Edward Snowden was incredibly well prepared. But I didn't get that impression that Brian Williams was prepared. But, you know, perhaps that's as good as it gets. I don't know. What was your impression?
I'm not sure that Brian Williams really knows the story as closely as he should, because some of the questions reflected that he hadn't read everything that needs to be read if he could understand the Snowden story. I mean, I think, look, this was an appearance. This was a kind of a PR move to try and I think quite successful in this respect, to show Edward Snowden as a reasonable, thoughtful, even cerebral guy. He's not a fire-breathing dragon. He's not a monster. He's a guy, unlike Greenwald, who's really quite, you know, impassioned to the point of fury. He's barely suppressing it. Snowden came across as even-tempered. He did not, as Assange and Greenwald do, he did not then make the NSA out to be a monolithic evil. Right, he distinguished between the heads of the NSA and their policies and the very good people who work there. So it was all very sophisticated, I suspect all highly scripted. But it was effective in that respect. Underneath it, though, and some of the off-camera commentary that Williams made suggested that somebody was saying, hey, wait a minute. But there were gaping holes in what Snowden said, if you know the details of the story, the important details.
Well, one of the holes, and which Brian Williams did not do any follow up on, was that Edward Snowden suggested that it was all the State Department's fault for taking away his passport.
Right.
When in fact his passport was taken away before he got to Moscow. It was taken away before he even left Hong Kong. And the obvious question was, how did you get out of Hong Kong without a passport?
Right. I mean, presumably the Russians let him in with a canceled passport, which, you know, it's up to, you know, they can choose to do so. But yes, this
but wasn't he staying? By the way, wasn't as far as I can tell, and I've checked into this. Snowden was staying in the Russian consulate in Hong Kong with Sarah Harrison, and that the trip was arranged by WikiLeaks. And wasn't I understand there was also a member of the FSB with them as well.
The Izvestia has reported, and WikiLeaks has confirmed via Assange, that the departure from Moscow was coordinated by the FSB, the Russian Secret Intelligence, and paid for by WikiLeaks. That's what the facts are. And in telling the story the way that he did, Snowden further clouded this whole story that no one has ever really pinned down about what was going on in Hong Kong, who was he talking with before he got a hold of Greenwald and Poitras, what is going on there. We don't know. And the departure is part of that. But you're quite right. I mean, a few days, a couple of days, I can't remember exactly how many, but shortly before he went to the Russian consulate in Hong Kong, Sarah Harrison shows up. Now, we know Sarah Harrison is Assange's, you know, sometime girlfriend, you know, lieutenant, accomplice, what have you. We know that Assange is very, very close with the Kremlin. He's very close to the Kremlin. His show on Russia Today just proved that. Putin doesn't allow anybody onto RT that he doesn't want to have on there. He's very close with the Russians. And, you know, one could make a very strong case that Sarah Harrison helped bring him in to the Russian consulate, and then they were off to Moscow.
Well, of course, the head of the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee basically said that referred to Snowden going into the loving arms of an FSB agent, meaning Sarah Harrison. I mean, unfortunately, he's a bit of an idiot, the head of the
yeah.
House well, guy. He's a moron. But
he's accused of Snowden outright of being a Russian spy.
Right.
I think I'm agnostic on that question. I don't think I haven't been persuaded one way or another, but you certainly can't just say that flat out.
Right. Well, but one of the people who've talked a little bit about what went on in those meetings in Hong Kong with Assange or with Sarah Harrison, and particularly with Laura Poitras and Glenn Greenwald. There was a third person, of course, there from the Washington Post, Gelman. And he wrote an op-ed basically saying that Edward Snowden basically, you know, gave him an ultimatum that he had to publish the first leaks within 72 hours. And the reason I'm suspicious about this entire Snowden affair is because the important leaks that came out were pretty much overshadowed the whole PRISM thing, which is something that American citizens ought to be outraged about and indeed have been outraged about. But if you recall, the main leaks that came out initially were just ahead of Obama's meeting with the new Chinese leader in Palm Springs. The first data dump indicated it was actually showed a presidential finding signed by Obama targeting China for cyber warfare. Now, that's an incredibly highly classified document. And that obviously totally undercut Obama at his meeting with Xi. And it felt to me like that was a political leak. You know, that was there. And I'm wondering whether that was China's payoff. And then the subsequent leak that came out later was just ahead of the G8 summit in Northern Ireland. They leaked this another data dump showing that GCHQ, the British British version of NSA, had bugged the G20 meeting, the previous G20 meeting in London. And Putin made a big deal about that at the meeting, and that's what provoked Obama to talk about him scowling in the corner like a schoolboy. So it felt to me that those two leaks were very political, and one of them helped China enormously and the other one helped Russia enormously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the timing is suspicious. We can't prove it. The thing that's telling, though, is, yes, the pressure that they put on to Gelman to get that piece out, they wanted it out right away. And that was the optimal time to undercut the Americans vis-a-vis China. That's one point to bear in mind. The second point, and the all-important point, is that these revelations had nothing to do with domestic surveillance. It's quite true, as you said, the PRISM program, all sorts of things that they've revealed. Yes, we should have had the debate, and we had the debate. But that's not what Snowden has been revealing in toto. Most of what he's been revealing has to do with perfectly legitimate American national security efforts by the NSA.
Again,
and in that respect, the interview last night was particularly infuriating, because when asked whether he had done any damage, Snowden went right to individuals. He said, "Tell me about one individual who's been hurt by this," which is not the point. The point is his revelations. Above all, his revealing the black budget of all of national security of the United States. That black budget is highly secret. The only people who would want to know that information would be the Chinese and the Russians. That came out. The press printed it. No one said boo. But this is stuff that has nothing to do with protecting our civil liberties, nothing to do with anything except compromising American national security. Now, why are they doing it? Who's calling the shots? What's going on here? That has yet to be revealed. We don't know enough. But the Snowden interview, to me, only reinforced my sense of disbelief, not only at what he managed to pull off and is managing to pull off, but the gullibility of the intelligentsia, of the press, of the vast majority of Americans who seem to be talking about this, the New York Times, you name it. It's just astounding to me.
Again, I'm speaking with Sean Willis, who is the George Henry Davis 1886 Professor of American History at Princeton. He is also a contributing editor at the New Republic, and his books include The Rise of American Democracy, Jefferson to Lincoln, The Age of Reagan, A History, 1974 to 2008, and his latest, Bob Dylan in America. And he has an article at the New Republic, Would You Feel Differently About Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange If You Knew What They Really Thought? The other huge hole, which, again, Brian Williams didn't do any follow-up on, was when he asked about basically who's paying your way. And he said he's not getting it. And he said, I haven't never seen Putin, but nobody pointed out that he appeared live on Putin's annual television show, which is basically designed to show the Russian people what a great guy he is. I mean, this is a guy, by the way, who completely controls Russia. I was just talking to some Russian journalists the other day. Who you cannot get a job in Russia anymore unless you praise Putin. He's taken over the press. He's taken over the internet. You can't do a damn thing without fawning to him. And if you don't, you're unemployed. And then that's exactly what used to go on in the Soviet days. So it's a hideous environment for the press and for the internet. But nevertheless, he said that he had nothing to do with Putin and that he wasn't getting any money from anybody. So the obvious question was, well, who the hell is paying your way?
Who's paying for it? Maybe it's WikiLeaks, who knows? But who's finding the apartments? I mean, I said, is he going on the Russian equivalent of Craigslist in order to find a place to live? Look, his lawyer is the FSB overseer. That's who his lawyer is. His lawyer is Putin's lawyer, basically. Right. He is intimately connected. Maybe this is not a matter of speculation. This is just a matter of fact. He's intimately related, in contact with people from the FSB, with the FSB. This is not crazy. Now, so the who's paying for it business is it was all, I think the question was misdirected. Have you met Putin? Well, what difference does that make? He met him, over the video, but he doesn't have to have actually shaken Vladimir Putin's hand to be involved with Russian intelligence, whether he knows it or not. I suspect that Snowden has no idea how much he's being manipulated by the Russians. And it's not about, as he said, the secrets that he would have smuggled into Russia. That's besides the point. The point is that for propaganda reasons and for many other reasons, Edward Snowden's helping Vladimir Putin tighten his grip on the Russian, especially on the Russian internet. Because by using this propaganda tool, Putin has been able to break down something called the ICAN agreement, the ICAN edifice, whereby the United States basically had control over domain names, making sure that despots like himself would not be able to control their nation's internet. That is now broken down, and it's broken down in no small measure because of Edward Snowden.
Well, so, Putin made it pretty clear that, by the way, at previous ICAN meetings, I think the last one, I think, was in Doha, both China and Saudi Arabia and Russia lobbied hard against the agreement. So it's there's no secret that these despots don't like the freedom of the Internet.
They talk about local control the way that John C. Calhoun and the slaveholders talked about states' rights in America, right? They wanted to have the power.
Right.
They want to have the power to do it, but nobody else interfering. So in many, many ways, Snowden's presence, Putin has made maximum use of Edward Snowden. And the fact is, you know, when Snowden first went to Russia, when he first finally got the year's, the visa for the year, whatever they call it, the permission to stay for a year, he praised Russia as, you know, one of the great human rights respecters in the world. I mean, you know, that was obviously written by the FSB. It's almost preposterous to imagine somebody writing, and even the stilted style that it was written in. So there's a lot here that's certainly that is at odds with Edward Snowden's narrative, with his story. And that, you know, no one is willing to pay, you know, few people like yourself are willing to pick it up.
Well, I just want the answers. I mean, I was glad that somebody interviewed this guy that was a journalist, as opposed to, you know, somebody that was already enamored with the mythology of who he is and what he's done. But it turned out to be, I thought, fall incredibly flat. One of the other things that I find extraordinary is that when he was asked about why he's in Russia, he said it was all the State Department's fault. And that he was going on to Cuba and then on to another Latin American country.
Right.
But my understanding is that it was a leak from Russian intelligence, the FSB, that had that the U.S. and Europeans acted on to ground the plane belonging to the president of Bolivia, who was leaving a meeting of oil ministers in Moscow. The tip-off was that Snowden was aboard the plane. Well, all that did was, one, it embarrassed the U.S., and two, it made Putin basically say, I'm sorry, guys, I got to keep this guy. You know, nobody in the world's going to have him because the Americans are going to nail him, and look what they've just done. So
that was a cover. That was a cover, Ian. I mean, the fact is, Putin has admitted that he knew when Snowden was in the Russian consulate in Hong Kong. I find it preposterous to believe that Putin didn't also know that he was heading to Moscow. He's denied as much. It's preposterous on its face. Now, if you ask Julian Assange why Snowden's in Russia, he has tweeted as much. He has said that he, WikiLeaks, persuaded Snowden to go to Russia because that's the only place where it could be truly safe, where he would not be extradited and he would be protected. That is why he's there, according to Julian Assange. The fact that, as Izvestia reported, the FSB was directly coordinating his departure for Russia tells me only makes that much more likely, because the FSB has been there from the start. They're not just happening on to this 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later after that, some charade-like appearance at the airport. So, you know, the FSB is all over this. And this isn't a matter of speculation, Ian. This is a matter of reported fact. And it's very, very troubling.
So my understanding is that WikiLeaks initially were going to do a data dump that was embarrassing to the Russians, and that through through this rather shady intermediary, Shamir Israel, I think is your name, is that right?
Oh, Israel Shamir, yes.
Israel Shamir, sorry. That they suddenly stopped the leak called, and thus began a relationship with the FSB, because this fellow apparently is an FSB asset. And I'm just wondering whether WikiLeaks is in fact on the Russian payroll.
Well, I mean, I've heard as much. Look, the story is slightly different than the way you reported it, Ian. Israel Shamir is an interesting character, a malevolent character. And he's connected with Assange, and he's connected with Russian intelligence, but he's a different part of the story. What happened was that WikiLeaks announced to the world, say, we're not just after the Americans, we're going to expose, you know, the governments on all sides, we're going to go, and we're going to expose stuff on the Russians. we're going to you're going to be seeing stuff about the Russian government. The next day or the day after, on one of the Russian internet news sites, news information sites, an FSB officer said, in effect, if they do this, we know how to destroy them. Meaning WikiLeaks. If WikiLeaks do it, you know, go ahead, make my day, basically, was what the FSB guy said. Now, before this, the Russians have been rather critical of Snowden to the extent they've been talking about him at all. All of a sudden, Putin makes starts talking, and others in Russia start talking about Snowden as a great hero. The threat was made.
You mean Assange is a great hero?
Thank you, Wien. Yes, Assange is a great hero.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they going after him? You know, the whole case that he was under, the sexual abuse charges, all been worked up. There's no democracy. They took advantage only after the threat was made. So the supposition is that was the moment when Assange, basically went over to the Russians. Now, that's one theory. The timing is there. What's not a theory is that Assange, with his television show on Russia Today, and his absolute silence about anything dealing with Russia, is very, very palsy-walsy with the Kremlin, to say the least.
Well, Sean Willens, I thank you for joining us. I just wish that we had better journalists, particularly in the mainstream press. And as you point out, I think one of the problems is that they've been the beneficiaries of these leaks, particularly the NBC has, but also Washington Post and the New York Times. And they don't seem to have looked into who the source of these are and who might be behind this source. And
I got to say, it always amuses me when Glenn Greenwald goes on one of his tirades about the mainstream press, because he has, and Snowden and the others, have played the mainstream press like a bunch of fools. And they know that. And that's the way, I think, when history is finally written of this, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and virtually the entire mass media is going to look very, very foolish.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Great to see you, Ian. See you soon.
Again, I've been speaking with Sean Willens, who's a George Henry Davis 1886 Professor of American History at Princeton University and a contributing editor at The New Republic. His books include The Rise of American Democracy, Jefferson to Lincoln, The Age of Reagan, A History, 1974 to 2008, and his latest, Bob Dylan in America. He has an article at The New Republic, Would You Feel Differently About Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange If You Knew What They Really Thought? We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back speaking further about the Snowden affair with Amitai Etzioni.